Episode 1034, My Strength is My Story with Candace Payne. Laugh it up.
Moms, needing a little inspiration and a ray of hope? You've come to the right place. This is the show that you can turn to for just the pick-me-up you need. This is Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. Here's your host, certified life coach, personal trainer, and nutritionist, Christiane Wargo.
Staring at a stop sign, watching people drive by, T-Mac on the radio.
Happy, happy day. It is my favorite day of the week. It is my Strength is My Story series. And we have on an incredible woman. Let me ask you this question. What would you think if you woke up one morning and said, you know what, today I'm going to become a viral sensation? Candace Payne was just that woman, except she didn't know she was going to become a viral sensation. She is Chewbacca Mom, and we are chatting with her today. For those of you who are brand new to Create Your Now, Star Wars fans, friends and family of Candace's, welcome to our family. I am so delighted of your presence. If you already haven't had the opportunity, you'll want to head on over to createyournow.com where you can learn more and sign up for the Kisses newsletter, the Keep It Simple Strategy Everyday Solutions to Live, Love, and Impact. Well, I'm telling you, your joy jar is about to be filled up. Candace is incredibly entertaining. She's funny. She's going to make you think. And she's also going to challenge you all at the same time. Are you ready to renew your mind? Are you ready to really understand what you need to do right now at this second to get you to the next level? Hopefully you have on your yoga pants because we're talking crockpot chili, beauty queens, simple acts of obedience, and the four seasons. Plus, there's an eviction notice, all leading you to defiant joy. Without further ado, let's welcome in Candace Payne. Laugh it up. Welcome to Create Your Now. I am so giddy with joy. Oh my goodness. You have no idea who we have here with us today. You are probably one of 170 plus million people who have viewed her Chewbacca mask video. Candace Payne is a viral sensation, being featured in over 3,000 media outlets, including Good Morning America, The Late Night Show with James Corden, The New York Times, People, and Cosmopolitan, just to name a few. When Candace is not in the limelight, she's the Southern girl who resides in Texas with her incredible husband, Chris, and their two children, Cadence and Duncan. Today, Candace celebrates being an author of her brand new book, Laugh It Up, Embrace Freedom and Experience Defiant Joy. Now get ready to have your joy jar filled as we welcome in my friend and sister in Christ, Candace.
Oh, I love the joy jar. That was cute.
Oh, thank you.
Joy jar. I need to make one of those. Like, why don't I have one of those in my house right now?
You need to have one, and you can decorate it for the season. So decorate one with fall and then make a winter one. And a spring one?
Yeah, it sounds like a Pinterest craft in the making. Like, I think I need to photograph it and make sure that it really existed.
Yes, exactly. Well, it does. And you know what? You fill and have filled up so many people's lives with joy with just your crazy video that was life-changing for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that crazy? Isn't that crazy? Like, I still, to this day, just think, what in the world has happened?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's happened, girl. So before we jump in to all your stories and what is going on in your life, let's talk about the right now. What keeps Candace hopping?
Well, right now, this year, 2017, I have been writing. I had the ink dry on my book deal with Zondervan in January. Towards the middle of January, and I literally have written two books and a study guide and curriculum within this past 10 months. So I've been writing about 85%, 90% of this year, and the other has been traveling and speaking. And then the rest of all of my energy goes to my pugs and my kids and my husband.
Like, oh, yes. We forgot to mention them in the intro because you do have the pugs. Remind me, one of them, the name starts with an O, right?
Opal.
Opal, that's right.
Opal is my girl, and we just got a new one. I don't even know what are we thinking in the middle of our life right now, but he's such a great fit for our home and our family. Like, he acts like he's been here longer than the other one that should know better, right?
Right.
And so We have Zeke and Opal, and we love them so much.
Oh, how cute. Well, yeah. Nothing like a brand new baby, right?
Oh, my goodness. He sleeps through the night, so we're good.
Wow. That's better than a real baby.
I know.
Oh, well, you obviously have your hands full. You are a mom. And yeah. I think that's kind of a nice reality check for a lot of us, because when people saw you in that moment, when you put that mask on, all they saw was this amazing, incredible woman that had her life all put together.
Right?
Obviously, they haven't read your book yet.
No, they haven't. You know, I think it's really, really funny. You know what happens when we assume? And I'm being mindful that this is a Christian podcast and that we're
yes,
that we're a little family friendly here. But I will say, there is something that we do on the internet. Like right now, even I'm in a corner of my house that looks presentable for you. The rest of my house is a holy hot mess. And it is filled with laundry on the couch and socks. Who puts socks in the living room floor? They have a place. However, I do have a pot of chili going in the crock pot. Ooh. So that is changing the atmosphere real quick. Anyways, but I know that there are so many things behind the scenes that people just honestly don't know about when you get just a short glimpse online.
Yes.
And it's really easy to assume that we could afford being a one income family, that I could afford buying a toy for myself and spending so many dollars on a Chewbacca mask and doing some birthday errands. The reality is I was living off of gift cards and return purchases. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
It was a day, probably one of the only days I had spent indulging in some me time. Mm-hmm. And I think half of the laugh just came from that. It just came from, thank God I am alone in this car right now. You know?
That's right.
So, I mean, yeah, my life has been not just a silver spoon and handed to me and afforded to me to just be joyful or a happy, you know, just one of those ladies that's just, she's just like that. She's just a happy person. I've had to fight for every ounce of joy that I have, and I have to fight daily to maintain it.
That's powerful there, Candace, to fight to maintain it, because some people think it's just like a drug. You drink it and you got it.
I want to know one drink that I can drink that I'm not thirsty within the next 30 minutes or an hour, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's the reality is that we are consumers. We are finite. We don't have infinite capabilities outside of ourselves other than the Holy Spirit, God, Jesus. And so for us, you know, I really look at this thinking, this is the one place in my life where it is not a luxury or it's not frivolous. Joy is something that is necessary to survive. And it's one of those things that has to be consumed. It has to be poured out. It has to be an ebb and flow daily, all the time.
Well, let's talk about a little bit of your stories that you include in your book. You said life wasn't easy for you growing up. You moved around a lot. I mean, I've moved around a lot. I've lived in now 27 places so far, 27 homes.
Well, there you go.
So I can relate to the moving around. But you say that there were some things that really challenged you growing up. And one of those is the one that you call the roommate that always bullies.
Ha. Yes. You know what? Shame is something that I feel like we don't address and we don't call out on the carpet. You know, we just feel like it's who we are. And there is a difference between shame and guilt and how it really shifts the atmosphere internally in us. It does take up residence. It does act like such a jerk to us. And the weirdest thing is, it's us speaking to ourselves. It's not an external circumstance. Mm-hmm. You know, guilt says you're guilty of something. Shame says you are all the things that you think you are. All the things that you have done wrong. And you will never amount to anything else. And so when I look at this bully that's been bullying for a long time, most of people that say that they're Christians, listen, Christians should be the happiest people that we know. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Oh, yes.
And fortunately, we don't appear to be the happiest people on this planet.
Oh, come on. I think we're both looking pretty good here.
I think there's an exception more than it is than yes. what the reality is.
Yes.
And there's been a broad paint stroke of what Christianity looks like and people that say that they love and they love Jesus and they love other people. And unfortunately, it hasn't been filled with joy. Mm. It's been filled with bigotry, judgmental accusations. And you look at, is that really abundant life? Are we really hitting it or are we missing something? And so I'm looking at this entire scope of how shame destroys the abundant life that we're promised. Mm-hmm. And that for me, if I was going to look at anything that was taking up residence and destroying and stealing my joy consistently, it was shame. It was all internal. You would not speak to your best friend nor your enemy sometimes the way that you speak to yourself. Mm-hmm. So you have to flip the script.
Yeah, you do have to flip the script. And I think women, especially moms and the stay-at-home moms, we get this whole persona in our head as to what we're supposed to look like, how we're supposed to act, how we're supposed to be in life.
Yeah.
And we live the script through shame.
Yeah. Well, that's why there's another chapter in there telling yourself to quit shoulding yourself. Mm-hmm. This idea that you should be any or all of those things at any given moment really debilitates your ability to have joy. You cannot, I've not known one person that's successful at having a joy-filled life. And I'm not talking like moments of spurts of happiness where I got something so it made me feel good, or finally my husband did the dishes, so what a great night, I'm going to post about it and, you know, put a little picture on Instagram. It's way different. That here's the deal. The difference is when somebody has tragedy or sorrow or circumstance hit their life, do you say, well, this always happens to me, I never can catch a break, this is my luck, this is how the world's against me every time, always? Mm-hmm. Or do you stand up under it and go, I must be a really trustworthy person in the eyes of God that I can take this. So let's get it. It's a way different mindset when you start speaking to yourself thoughts of purpose, hope, and joy. Mm-hmm. A way different mindset.
And growing up, would you say that you carried that mindset all the time?
Not all the time. I think that's unrealistic. Mm-hmm. Even last night, you know, I mean, here at my house, I had a great, have you ever had a great day that just turns really crappy?
Oh, yes.
And you don't know how it happens in 5 minutes, and you're sitting here going, what? Wheels off just happened in my house. And I had a great day, and it was one of those, I'd got up, I'd had some great time with Jesus, I'd talked to some prayer partners, we were praying, and it was like, Holy Ghost was on the phone with us, you know what I mean? And I'm like, this is a day, it's a moment. Today's the day the Lord has made, I will rejoice. I'm like talking to myself around my house. And then I pick up my kids from school, and would you know it, my son had not had a good day. And now he's spilling that out on me. And then I'm replicating that back to him going, oh, would you get it together? Would you just, and then I found out he'd lied about some things and hidden some things. And then you're sitting there before you know it, in an instant, what turned from hallelujah turns to yelling your kids out. And in that moment, I have to go, wait a minute. This is not going to destroy the atmosphere in this home right now. And one of you has to be the grown-up, and one of you has to have hope, and one of you always has to look on the brighter side. And for me, if I don't see it in the room, I naturally gravitate towards being that person that will try. Even in the midst of the most sorrowful moments I can think of, I'm always trying to figure out, how do I hold out hope? And how do I hold out that this is not my last day? And it doesn't have to be.
That's powerful. And one that we need to take, I mean, truly to heart. Not just sit here and say, oh, I get it. Okay, praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
But actually internalize it and then activate it. To take aim. To take action on it and say, you know what? I'm doing this. I'm not sitting on the sidelines anymore.
Yeah. And you know what? Here's the deal about shame as well. Sometimes I go through things that I've already overcome and walked through, and I'm like, yes, I know how to do this. I have skills in my bag that I can conquer this. And sometimes I go through it and I fail at it miserably. And then the very next day I'll speak with a friend that they're like, I am struggling with this. Sometimes I think I'm allowed to just remember what it feels like to walk in failure sometimes. Mm. And that doesn't mean that I'm the sum of everything wrong that I did, nor that those tools I've been using for years hasn't helped me in this moment right now. And I just was stupid. You know what I mean? That's what shame says, is you're stupid. You should know better. You've done this before. You've already lived this. Mm-hmm. The reality is until we see Jesus face to face, we're going to constantly struggle with our flesh. And we're going to constantly struggle at finding that abundant life and finding joy in every single moment. And I tell you, I just don't even have room for that bully in my life. I don't even have room. And I know his voice very, very well. And so I'm telling you, when he comes, I may not be best at it every single time, but at the end of the day, he's going to get an eviction notice. You know?
Oh, yeah. Evict him.
Yeah.
And you guys are going to want to read more in our brand new book, Laugh It Up, Embrace Freedom and Experience Defiant Joy. So as we kick shame to the curb and we get him out of here, okay, no more bully, there's something else though that creeps in. And you talked about in your book that you went not to go find this Chewbacca mask to laugh it up. And I'm a Star Wars fan. I'm probably not as a fanatic as you are. I know enough to be dangerous, but I love my Star Wars. In the book, you talk about comparison is pretty on the outside. Because when you went looking and going to the store out shopping, it was for the yoga pants.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yoga pants are a mystery to me this day, even. How are they so inspiring to do everything but yoga? You know what I mean? Like, I want to sleep in them. I want to clean in those things. I want to do everything but leave the house and not work out in those things. You know, a lot of people have assumed that I have a very self-deprecating humor. And they're like, isn't she so cute? She's got this self-deprecating humor. We love that. And my thought is this. There's a difference between self-deprecation and being self-aware.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
I've done the self-deprecation, and it was in a season that I was comparing myself with many other people. And not just many other people. I was like a 20-year-old kid surrounded by literal beauty queens. Literal beauty queens. And I'm finding myself going, okay, well, I don't match up there, so let me get my talent. And then I'm in a talent pool of kids that I'm sitting there going, oh, you play 9 instruments? Great. I failed my first piano semester. You know, and I'm sitting here thinking, where do I measure up? What is my worth? And when I hold that against anybody else other than who God's telling me I am, I will always find that it steals my joy. Always. Mm-hmm. Always. You're not supposed to be X, Y, or Z because you were created a different way. And I think that people don't understand the beauty that lies within how they are intricately created. Mm-hmm. Listen, it goes back to the old story of Jacob and Esau. It really does. They're twins, right? They look alike, yet one would so willingly give up everything for a meal. He sounds like me. If it was a plate of tacos, I'd probably be like, I'm done.
I'm all in. Chili today, though.
And then the other one wants so desperately what is not his and what he's not meant to have or become. And I look at how we are doing that game even in our society right now with comparison. We don't realize what we have. A lot of the times we don't realize how incredible we already are. And it's not because of anything that we really have done or that we can do. It's just because we've been told you're born into this kingdom, you're mine. You have a birthright. Now figure that out. You can spend your entire life figuring that out and live in a joyful state, I promise you, if you believe it. The other is the tension that we feel to try to really rob the Christian gutters for other people's hand-me-downs that they've thrown away. And we're sitting here going, if I could just be as talented as so-and-so, if I could just have the position of this, or if I could have a mega church, or if I could have a small house church that's cutting edge and millennial. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We've got all these things that we compare and we strive so hard to be other than standing and owning how incredible God has created us and how purpose, he's not careless. Mm-hmm. He has purposefully created us. And he's not careless in anything that he's made about us. So there's a high difference of being self-aware than there is self-deprecating. Mm-hmm. And for me, when I make jokes about that, y'all, I just know. I am not the cute yoga pant wearer. But I will buy some and I will wear them at home in my house where my kids can make fun of me.
And put on a mask or two or three and have fun with it.
Yes.
Well, let me ask you this question, because you were found in the limelight when you put that mask on and you just let it all hang out.
Yeah.
It's interesting that I think a lot of us live our lives with a mask on. And we try to pretend to be someone that we're not. Not that you're Chewbacca, because that would be really cool right now. But I can't do his voice, but we'll have to do that. We'll interject that here, you know, after we edit it and all. What is it? Can you tell somebody, give them a tip or a little bit of what I call the kiss, the keep it simple strategy, as to how can they begin to remove that mask, even if it's like the phantom mask, where now it's only half of your face, and say, okay, look, it's time to accept who you are, who God created you to be.
I would say anything that prevents you from taking a step when you know you naturally should. Hmm. Anything that tells you, oh, I won't be appreciated if I do that. Listen, it's more than just this idea of stepping into who you are and finding your destiny and those good works God's created. It is an internal work that really starts in the mind. That's why scripture tells us, it says, do not be conformed any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And when we look at that scripture, that's not just some good advice. It's the core of how we actually succeed. Mm. It is. I know that there are things that fire in our brains a certain way, and they carve out a habitual response. Mm-hmm. And because of that, they keep that narrow response. And if you're ever going to retrain your mind to do anything and renew your mind, you're going to get into some paths that you haven't been before. And you're going to have to get off the beaten path and into the thick of it. Mm-hmm. And we don't like that. We don't like to see our comfort compromised. And even now, probably somebody's thinking, oh, I thought she was talking about joy. Like, that doesn't sound joyful at all. I'm not doing it. But I will tell you, joy is much more than circumstantial. Mm-hmm. It is the deep well of reserve of, that feels good at the end of the day to know I did hard work. Have you ever done hard work and then you're just like, I feel good. Mm-hmm. I feel good. And that's joy. That's joy peering in and doing the hard work of transforming your mind and talking to yourself different and thinking about yourself different. It is worth it, because it may be hard work in the thick of it, but soon you'll find some clearing. Soon you'll find some open space where you can take a breath, have a sandwich, sit down and look at the landscape around you. And, although it's hard, it's worth it.
Mm-hmm. It is worth it. One thing you mention in your book is you use this word enough. Mm. And you say the one little word that packs a brutal punch.
Yep. Every single time. Mm-hmm. Whenever you say, I'm not good enough, I'm not talented enough, I'm not a good mom enough, I'm not a good wife enough, that word enough is already setting a standard that's unattainable. I want you to tell me, what's the standard? What would be enough? Mm. And I dare say you cannot tell me. Because then after that, you've achieved that one, there's always another enough. Mm-hmm. And if we can remove that from our thoughts, to say that I have to be this or I have to measure this. Listen, it's really hard being a mama right now with kids that get grades and they feel their worth based in completely knowing, am I meeting this mark? Am I measuring up? Am I measuring? Because I'm going against the grain and everything I'm teaching them as well to go, that's a reflection of the work you put in, but it isn't your value. Mm. And we do the things, we need to do that same conversation to ourselves. You may have consequence and you may have things that your life looks like right now because it is basically what you put the work into. It's the result of it. But it doesn't mean that it's your value. Not for one second does it mean it's your value. Yeah. So that word enough is just ugly to me.
ugly. We got to kick it to the curb too, just like we got to kick shame to the curb.
Yeah, people think it's funny that I you know, the cuss words that I choose to call cuss words, and that is one. Enough mm-hmm. and should. I hate those words.
Uh-huh. So. Yeah, I would agree with you. And for me, instead of be quiet, you know, it's the shut up. That's kind of my kind of one too.
Mm. It's like, oh, okay.
You know, yeah. I can relate to that.
Yeah, gotcha.
Well, y'all are going to want to pick up your own copy of Laugh It Up, Embrace Freedom, and Experience Defiant Joy. You know, Candace, it's, I got to ask this. I got to ask the basic question.
Okay.
When you're interviewing the author and you put pen to paper.
Yeah.
Why this book at this time?
Wow. First of all, I really, I want to be clear that there's not anything that's advantageous or opportunistic. Strike while the iron is hot, right? Mm-hmm. Let's do it. You had a viral video. Now let's get on it. Let's get on it. What I saw in that moment of going viral, there are so many God winks and God nods to my personal walk and my personal journey. But I discovered something about myself that I did not even acknowledge. I had undervalued being the fun about myself. I undervalued what it was like to bring joy to a room. You know, I was a worship leader for goodness since I was 14 years old. And I just got to be honest, I'm not that very good at one, because I'd find myself talking the whole time through the in-between transitions of songs, or everybody else is crying, weeping their eyes out. And I'm like, hey, oh, not a fast song moment. Oh, okay. Sorry.
Pull back the reins.
Back up. And what I discovered is that I'm trying so hard to be this mold that I wasn't fitting in as well, and I was missing it. And when I really discovered what is my voice, and that Jacob and Esau moment for me, who am I? I feel like Candace alone, that name means shining bright or glittering or sparkling. I like sparkles. So, however, there is one scripture that I read right after this viral video happened that launched me into wanting to do this book. And it was a passage in Psalms, and it says, lift up the light of your countenance upon us, O Lord. Mm-hmm. And I really felt like God was just telling me, Candace, I've made you to be a bright, shining light, because I want to lift up the light of my face differently through this world right now. And I want to show people I'm not an angry God and I'm not a jerk. I'm not judgmental. I'm not stuffy, but I do have a smile on my face. And so I thought the best way to do that was to get the word out through something that I didn't have to replicate by going to every single location and saying over and over again, but it could live on shelves and have a life and breath of its own. Mm-hmm. And when you think about writing a book, listen, I'm going to get teary here. I'm trying not to.
You can.
But I stood in the entryway of a Barnes & Noble the other day crying for about 5 minutes before I realized that the doors were just going like this in front of me. And the reason I did that is because I thought about this book in there. And I thought, long after my kids have left this world and I have left this world, this message of joy is going to live somewhere on a shelf. And who knows who can pick it up and find that they are worth more and that they can have more than what they're currently living. So this is not just a, let's get it, let's make some money and do a book. It is something that I hope will live far beyond my days, far beyond my wallet, and far beyond the scope of my reach even right now.
It has definitely filled my heart with joy, and I love getting to know you in your book, Laugh It Up. I want people to know and think about this. This would be an incredible Thanksgiving gift. It would be an incredible Christmas gift. But I think of Thanksgiving because in this, Candace, you really, you spill it all out.
Yeah.
You tell some really hard stories. We're not going to share all of them. We're going to cover maybe one or two others here. But there's this, it's joy that comes through, but it's joy because of gratitude. Mm. Owning who you are and knowing that I was made for a purpose. Maybe I tried to find my way, because you didn't stumble. I mean, it's not like you went in going, I'm going to go to Kohl's and pick up my Chewbacca mask and make a $1 million. That wasn't even in it.
I haven't made $1 million yet. That'd be great.
Okay, anybody who's listening that wants to hire Candace for $1 million, she's ready. Just call her.
I'm here.
She's here. But you were in preparation years and years and years, and you found yourself wandering amongst your house, going, well, what's next for me, Lord? Praying prayers.
Yeah. Yeah. But in all honesty, the weeks leading up to that moment, there was something teeming between me and God. And I can't explain it very well, so I try not to. But I knew something was coming. I had told about 7 or 8 different people. I said, something big is about to happen. I don't know what it is, but every time I pray, I feel like God's telling me, get ready. And they were like, okay, well, we'll just pray with you for it because that sounds awesome. You know, and I'm like, me too, right? And, you know, people say that a lot, and you're just kind of like, okay, sounds good. But I knew, like, God, here's the deal. Even the way that he's going to come back in the clouds, he says, I'm going to give you these warning signs. I'm going to give you these labor pains. You're going to feel it in your bones. And I felt as though something was happening. And the night before the video went viral, the Holy Spirit had asked me to give away my last $20 to a single mom I met in a Popeye's chicken. And I'm like negotiating with the Holy Spirit. I'm like, can we give her 10? Can I like break this up? And because I still need to get groceries, you know, I'm just putting it out there the real way. And I remember just relinquishing that simple obedience, that simple obedience of saying that God wants to do something in me with what I have for somebody else. Mm. I did that. I went to church that night. Led worship on the worship team. But I called my pastor before I went to bed and I said, something's going to happen. I said, I feel it. Tonight when I heard his voice and I gave away this $20, I said, I felt like I drank a hot cup of cocoa on a cold winter day. Like I was warm on the inside everywhere. I said, I feel something's going to happen. And he said, that's awesome. That's awesome. And the next day I went with yoga pants. That was a return because I didn't have a dollar to my name. And I paid for a Chewbacca mask with return money. Mm. And I used up my free reward at my favorite coffee joint. And I got some birthday cards that I spent at a smelly good lotion place. And all of these were things that I did not have the provision for. And I look at, are you trying to tell me that this was not just a viral moment? This was simple acts of small obedience over and over and over again. And it was small acts of just trusting that God is who he is and he'll take care of you. You know, another scripture, gosh, I feel like I'm just scripture overloaded today. And without any reference, by the way, I get you. All you theology people right now are just jacked up and you're angry in your concordance. Anyways.
they're looking going, wait, rewind.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm not David Platt. That guy's amazing. He can quote like books. But anyways, yes. And the reference. But I know that in the Psalms it tells us, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging for bread. And I've never seen God's children to the point where they utterly are left hopeless. And I found myself saying, am I going to live my life that way? Am I going to trust that God will take care of everything? Even when I give away my last $20, I got to make it to another 10 days with groceries in my cupboard. Mm. Or, and it's my birthday week. I want to celebrate my birthday, right?
Right.
Or am I going to complain, hoard onto that, not trust him, not bless somebody else's life, be selfish, and then really reveal the heart of what I actually believe, what my belief system really is that I don't trust you at your very word. I don't trust you when you prompt me. And I don't trust that you'll take care of me. But I, you know what? From Genesis to maps, you got to swallow it whole or give it back. You got to. You got to believe it and live it. And I know it's so simple. It's so simple to just say that that's all it is. But really, that's it. Mm-hmm. That's it. I thank God it's that simple. You know?
Yeah.
If it was any harder, I'd be out a long time ago.
That's right. And that's why this isn't made up, Candace. I can hear your heart in your book. When you wrote it, you were jumping off on the page. Your heart was. It wasn't just words that were like, oh, well, yeah, whatever. This is what it is. You could tell this is something that you walk your talk. Not that you do it perfect all the time.
No.
But you do it. You know, you do it. And I think a lot of us, we fall back into the whole idea of, I can't do it anymore. I'm going to throw in the towel. I'm finished. I'm not enough. I've been abused. I've been yelled at. I've been divorced twice. I've got two kids, and I really wanted 10 kids. I mean, it's oh, woe's me all the time.
Yeah.
And you didn't come from a background of a Cinderella where everything castle and Prince Charming, even though Chris in there, we're not going to tell the story, but there's a Prince Charming in there.
There is.
That you talk about. And so with all of that, what would you tell the man or the woman listening? You know, oh, you can sit here and you say it's easy. You say it's so simple. But I'm living the real life. And you could still just be putting this on and just kind of putting on your mask. What would you tell that person that's like, okay, I've lived it, but I'm done with it because I don't trust anymore?
Well, I would already say that you're limiting yourself, friend. You can have a debate with me and I could tell you a million things. You could read my book and you would figure out there's a little bit of wisdom in there, but you would disagree with it because your mind and your heart is already made up. I know I'm not naive. I know that you have to be the one that believes it and does the work. And the thing is, if you can't trust yourself to do the work and change, you're going to stay there. You're going to stay there. And I got to be honest with you. I hope to have a whole bunch of joy converts by the end of my life. I hope people find themselves going, I don't know what happened, but all of a sudden I believe this junk, that I'm happy, that I can be happy, that my kids are good people. Good Lord. They came out okay.
You know? That's
they
right.
They are fine. They may be on a couch because of me at 30 talking about me to a therapist, but they made it. They made it. And here's the deal. Most people, they can assume whatever they want to, if I'm putting this on or if I'm living it or if I'm not. But the reality is that's a very defensive mechanism that you have internally already. You know, I've had the heart of a cynical person and a skeptic. I have lived there in a season that was about 2.5-3 years long. And it was miserable. It was miserable. I couldn't even trust any thought from anybody else because I was just like, ugh. It was all through the filter of that's going to hurt me. That's not going to benefit me. That's not for me. I mean, I can't even tell you how many times I said to my pastor at one point, oh, that's good for you, but not for me. Good for you, but not for me.
Yeah.
And at some point you got to stand up and go, you know what? Give it 4 seasons. Give it 4 full seasons, 1 full year out of your life where you're going to be a fool and believe everything foolish. Try it. Try it. Because I think what you'll find is after season 1 going into season 2, it may be a winter, but there will be a spring, friend. And your thoughts will start to change and your hope will begin to rise. And I think most people don't want to go through a full year. When you tell them flat out, try it for a year, they're like, ah, give me something that lasts microwave minute, you know? But I have literally spent so many times coming out of my thoughts and out of my habits just by saying, I'm only doing this for a year. And about 3 months in, I go, that was stupid. I could do this the rest of my life. This changed my life. But most people don't do that. They don't afford themselves 1 good year walking 4 full tough seasons to figure out truth and to change their mind. If you do it, if you do the work, I promise there's more on the other side. And it's not just Candace talking to you. I mean, I've lived it. I've lived it. Yeah.
Yeah, one step at a time leads to miles of greatness. And you're going to want to pick up your own copy of Laugh It Up, Embrace Freedom, and Experience Defiant Joy. Well, Candace, I got to ask this question too, because talking about the trust factor, you went through a very, very dark time in your life. And where it actually led you to attempt suicide.
Yeah. Yeah.
How can we, the people who see this adorable, laughing Chewbacca mama, come from a place of, I don't want to live anymore?
Do we not remember one of our favorite and greats in our comedic world just a few years ago, Robin Williams? I think some people that carry the banner of being the fun are hiding a lot more behind a smile that's half broken. And there's a lot of expectation for people to make you feel as though you have to be on all the time. And the last chapter of the book is the reason why I called it Later Hater, is because I have to have boundaries with who has the right to speak expectations over my life or who I am. Because in that process, the very first time I ever found myself comparing and feeling the weight of trying to maintain anything, it left me very, very isolated. And it left me depraved in my mind. And I remember coming to a point, and listen, suicidal thoughts, they are the most destructive and the most intentional about accomplishing what they're set out to do. They come fast and swift, sometimes without warning, or with very little warning. And sometimes they're successful as well. And I cannot explain to you how important this issue is for our society right now. I spoke in a church, gosh, it was May this year. And in the middle of me, given my normal, what I was prepared to speak, and I'm in the middle of it and I'm feeling like I'm nailing it, right? Like this is a hashtag nailed it moment. The Holy Spirit started whispering to me, tell them about your struggle with suicide. And I'm sitting here thinking, nope, that is not on my notes page. We got things to do. This pastor has a countdown timer on the floor. I'm following that. And I just basically said, hey, I'm going to stop here. I cannot continue to remember what I'm supposed to talk about unless I address this. But some of you in this room may be hiding the thoughts of wanting to give up your very life. You may even not even be the typical person we would think would even struggle with this. I just want you to reach out today, ask for help. Your last day isn't today, you know? And I just kind of dropped that and then moved on. And I was like, there, I was obedient to that little nudge. Can we get on with things, you know?
Yes.
And I'm thinking that probably sounded so stupid. It was in the middle of what I was talking about. It didn't even make sense. A grown man, mid 50s, comes up to me. Big guy afterwards. He shakes my hands. He's got tears in his eyes. And he just says, I am a police officer that just got fired from my job last night. I haven't had the courage to tell my wife or kids. And about 2 o'clock in the morning, I was sitting on my couch with my gun in my mouth. And he said, I know that that was for me. He said, and I need help. I immediately paired him up with people there that they could stay with him and be there for the longevity of what that meant. But we don't ever know who's fighting that battle. And I don't care what smile you're wearing, what position you're in, how elevated in society you are. You never know the mental health of somebody and what they're struggling with and dealing with internally. That's why I always say at the end of my little Facebook Live show, be kind to one another and laugh it up when you can. Because not every day you can laugh it up. It's just the reality of it. You may just get through with a smile. That's okay. But you can be kind to somebody because you never know the battles they're fighting in their mind or in their heart. And for me, my battle, I know it well. I mean, I was only successful at living that day because my roommate came in and walked with me and didn't say a word. So, yeah. Some intense, yeah, you're going to read, you're like, I'm really not buying this book now. I'm so sad.
Oh, no.
It's good.
It's no, and they need to pick this up. And that's what I love about it, Candace, is that your heart comes through. Yes, maybe at times you were the one who hid behind the laughter, the light, that you just, you know, you kind of blew things off that way. But you get real. And I think, you know, God had the perfect timing for this book. Mm-hmm. And it's, I mean, in reading it all, you mentioned God winks earlier, all the different God winks that we're not even touching on in here.
Yeah.
I can see how he orchestrated every bit of it. And if you're questioning whether or not God is real, another reason why you want to pick up this book. Another reason why that you want to gift it to somebody. Maybe you don't know where they're at and you don't know how to start that conversation. Laugh it up. It's a great way just to start a conversation.
Yeah. Listen, this is a Christian podcast, and I'm being very frank from my Christian brothers and sisters.
Yes.
But in the book, Laugh It Up, I was intentional about not isolating somebody that comes to the bookstore, doesn't even own a Bible, mm-hmm. and they pick it up. And my hope for them was that they would find the possibility, just the inkling that it may be real when they read my book. Mm. Now, that's why I ended up, for my Christian friends, doing the Defiant Joy study guide. You know, I mean, I dive into the scriptures behind everything, why God showed me things and how all of that came in and all those God winks. But I don't ever hide my faith. Mm-hmm. I haven't from the beginning. But I also don't salt and pepper him as though his name is careless on my tongue. Mm. And so I'm very intentional. I thought it was really funny when all of this started happening and people were like asking, okay, in your Instagram profile description, you say God, but you put an asterisk in the O. Does that mean you're denying God? And I'm thinking, no, it means that his name doesn't need to be uttered in the same name when I'm describing myself. It's worth more than that. You know, and I think people are going to discover with Laugh It Up that you were thinking, gosh, this person, I don't even know if they know Jesus. They don't know God. They don't even hold out hope that there is one. They've been so wounded and hurt by life. It's a good book to give them. And don't sneak attack them with the gospel. Don't give them, you know, give them the book and then say, now let's walk through the Romans road. Let them read and let them discover, because God is the one that draws all men to himself. Mm. And he's good at it.
Yeah.
Way better than us. Way better than us.
Yes. Yeah. We just have to remember that we're his vessel, that he is working through us to plant the seed, to be that mustard seed. And then someone else may come along and water it. Someone else will come along. And when the time happens, boom, new season, God's got it.
You know what's funny? I've heard that phrase a lot growing up in church. And what I've discovered that nobody talks about with that phrase is you've also got to have good soil.
Mm-hmm.
And that can't be us. That's not up to us.
That's right.
It's not even up to the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. He can't make you. It tells us in a parable, there were different kinds of soil. Some were choked out by the cares of this world. Some were rocky. Mm-hmm. Some of the birds snatched it away.
Yes.
You know what? Unless a person is willing and ready to hear. You know, you just be faithful.
Mm-hmm. So. And you have been so faithful.
Oh, I'm sorry?
You have been so faithful.
Oh, no. Some most 80%.
Well, we are human. Remember that.
Yes. I'm trusting. I don't think I'm faithful, but I'm very trusting.
Mm-hmm. And we don't necessarily, that trust comes from knowing that God's got our back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And you know what? I married a guy that he didn't grow up in church. Mm. And he found Jesus when he was a drug addict and he was at a party. And he was the first time drawing a short straw. And he was an 18-year-old kid. And when he reads the Bible, it doesn't have a lot of the stuff that you grow up in church hearing read to him with it. Mm. He just believes it. That's been the most encouraging thing for my walk, is to have somebody in my house that just says, well, doesn't the Bible say that? And I'm like, yeah, but I don't know if it was the cessationalism or if it's like afterwards or just for the church. And he's like, what are you doing? He's like, I don't even know what words you're saying right now. He's like, does the Bible say it? Mm-hmm. Just trust, you know? And, so yeah, we would all serve ourselves very well to just believe what we read and to trust that the Holy Spirit's going to interpret that for us good. Mm.
So, yeah. Wisdom spoken from Chewbacca Mama.
Isn't that hysterical? So funny. God would have to use the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, right?
That's right. Yes, yeah. Indeed. Well, in your one of your chapters, you title chapter 7, you title it Joy is Content, whether backstage or center stage. And yes. For those, you know, at the very bottom, experience defiant joy. What does that mean?
Well, it's not defiance like when a child is defiant.
Correct.
And you put them in a corner and you're like, stop being defiant. It's the defiance of against a natural grain, a natural condition. For example, one of my favorite musicals is Wicked. And one of my favorite songs is Defying Gravity. And I think about that, and I love it because it makes you feel like, yes, because gravity is something you cannot avoid. We all go through it. Mm-hmm. We are walking and not floating creatures right now because of this thing called gravity. And in the same way, life deals us all junk. We are all, I do not know one person that's going to be exempt from that. You're not. It's going to come your way. The reality is that you can have joy, which is not really a natural response, mm-hmm. and defy whatever comes your way. And that's defiant joy. That's why we talk about defiant joy so clearly in the study and in the curriculum and in the book. It's because people need to know this is not naturally birthed in me. This is not something I was born with. It is a choice, and it is a decision that I have to make every day. Mm. Yeah.
It's a decision.
Yeah.
It just doesn't happen.
No. Mm-hmm. I didn't just get a mask and just laugh because I'm just a happy-go-lucky big girl. I know people can think that. I know you. I see you. I, however, have intentionally chosen to make my life a place that is peaceful and filled with happiness. And I know the difference when it's not like that. Mm-hmm. And I can't stand it. I don't think people know that, though. I feel like where we are living right now, we all have a chronic case of the Mondays. We have a chronic case of depression. And I'm not talking clinical depression where you need meds. I'm saying just you get up and you're done before you even start. Mm-hmm. We know that feeling well as a society. What we don't understand is when joy creeps in, and what that feels like. It's actually a foreign feeling to us. And I think we need to switch it. It needs to be where we know joy so well and intimately that when depression comes, when anxiety comes, when stress is feeling overwhelming, we go, oh, I don't like this. I don't know what it is, but I don't like it. And that's, if you really want to talk about the crux of everything that I hope that comes from this book, it's that. Mm-hmm. Is that internally, you'll be able to know the difference. And it'll feel foreign to you.
And that foreign, though, that taste of it, you want more.
That joy for me, I'm telling you, you can't get enough. It can overflow, and it will be always. It is a fountain, not a bucket. Mm. Mm-hmm.
So if someone is sitting there, going, I want this joy. You told me already that I got to kind of maybe go back to the Bible, trust a little bit more, believe mm-hmm. what I'm reading. Mm-hmm. Now let's put it into practical application because you know the world around us and how everything has to be immediate gratification. We want it right now. You know, why can't this have happened 10 seconds ago? It already should have happened. Fast forward. What would you tell that person as to how do you begin to get that joy back in your life and leading and taking that next step?
You know, I'm so grateful that you asked because this is not just a great time for a book plug, but I'm dead serious. Defiant Joy, the study guide, tackles every single one of those questions. And I give you fun work, not homework, fun work. And every week I ask you to do something tactile. There's not a single fill in the blank Or you got to memorize this scripture before you get back so you can look really holy with your group of people at your table. It is literally, did you do the fun work? And the first week, just to even kind of give you an idea of the tactile stuff I'm asking for, I encourage you, go upstairs to your attic, pull out a nostalgic toy from your childhood and play for 30 minutes a day. Play. Engage the playful nature that you probably have lost. If you don't have a childhood toy, get a board game out with your family. Make a family night. Maybe make it to where you get on your phone and you do bubble pop, crash, candy, something or other, freeze it. I don't care. I just find time to engage with play. I think that is a simple, simple step that we all miss, even in engaging with joy daily, is the fact that we can afford ourselves to give a little bit of time to releasing our cares and disengaging. Just stop being so locked in. You know what I mean? Stop being so locked in. Don't take yourself so seriously. Yeah, and then there's a lot of other fun work that I think people would really, really love. And I don't want to give it all away because I really do want people to go through it. Mm-hmm. And here's, I will tell you this though. I ask people, if you're going to go through the study, to do it 2 times, maybe 3. And here's why. The first time, you need to learn. The second time, you need to be able to really already know what's ahead and be more intentional about how you're doing it. Mm-hmm. Anything that I've actually learned in my real life, it's taken me about 3 seasons worth. The first season, I've always just been a student. The second season, I've been engaged and actually participating because I kind of know what's happening. Mm-hmm. It's like I get to that next level in my sportsmanship about it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, okay, I know the rules now. Now I can play, right?
Right.
Now I can engage the game. And then the third season, I've always felt like I've mastered something is when I'm able to replicate it or teach it. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like if people can go through this 3 different times, 2 especially, but that third time, if you can teach it, I promise you, you'll be able to live it out. If you can get to the point where you can teach it, you can live it.
Well, you're going to want to pick up your copy of the study and her brand new book, Laugh It Up, Embrace Freedom and Experience Defiant Joy. You want to fill your joy jar up. You want to take that mask off. As cute as Chewbacca is, we all need to see and let the face that God created, the purpose that he created, shine through. And Candace, you have done just that.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
So I can't let you go quite yet. You know, okay. we're almost there though. Okay. So first off, people are going to want to find you.
Yes.
And obviously we're going to have all the information in the show notes, but tell them where they can connect with you.
All right. You can connect with me at CandacePayne.me. It's just that simple. And my name is spelled with an A, not an I. I'm sorry for all the I Candaces out there. This is like an unwritten, like, controversy between us all. Like, we're like, oh, is your name Candace too? Is it an I or an A? And then we're like, not friends. But mine is Candace with an A, CandacePayne.me. You can find everything that you need to connect with me. Watch the original video if you don't even know who Chewbacca Mom is and you weren't part of the 100 and whatever million that have watched it. And also on there, it's just going to be updating everything that you need to know about books, speaking, future projects. Some fun stuff. So stay engaged with me. I want to stay engaged with you.
Awesome. I love that. Yeah. And we'll have to have you back for those future projects.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, come on, you know, and just to talk, because I think you're a sweet treat. And I really hope that in your yoga pants too, you're a sweet treat.
Yes.
That's what we'll have to do, is we'll just have to do a live video with both of us in yoga pants. I mean, let's just get real.
I'm going to get that embroidered on my rear end. Sweet treat.
You do that, girl, and I'll sign it. No.
That's awesome.
Okay, so I've got to tease this one thing, because there's a lot in this book. And yes, it's about Laugh It Up. But there's a lot more. And there's a story that you share in here. After you became the sensation that you already were, but the world found out.
Mm.
And it was Buzz Lightyear and Mr. Anthony.
Yes.
And that's all I'm going to say, because just that story.
Yeah.
As a mom.
Yeah. Yeah.
It needs to be picked up. It's worth the price of admission for this book. And it's going to more than touch your heart. You're going to be laughing and crying and kicking and screaming and mad and angry throughout the whole book. But it's going to be awesome. And at the end of it, you're going to be like, yes.
Yep. 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 So it is a good, feel good. It's all the feels. All
yes.
the feels.
Yes. All the feels. Well, before I let you go, I have one last question. This series is called My Strength is My Story. Mm. What has your story gifted you?
Oh, my goodness. I would say that my story has gifted me the ability to own who I am and not be ashamed or worried with who I am. So I think that that's really, really phenomenal. That's at least where I'm at right now. I feel good in my own skin. I don't know if that's because I'm like coming up to 40. You know what I'm saying? Like people tell you when you get up to 40, you just don't care. You just don't care anymore. You're like, whatever. I've lived 40 years on this planet. I ain't got time. And I feel that could be a little bit of it, but I really just feel comfortable in who I am. Mm. And that takes a lot of time and work. And my story has really been integral in that. Mm. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to write your story. And to share a little bit of it in your brand new book, Laugh It Up. Candace, it has been truly an honor and a pleasure to spend this time with you. Thank you so much.
Aw, thank you.
Feeling inspired, ready to train for life, and love your journey? Visit createyournow.com for more incredible resources to help you along the way. We'll see you next time on Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. And remember, always be sure you consult your physician before beginning any health and fitness plan.